I want to keep, in the first service, I spoke about grace and peace, and I want to speak about that in this service as well. Grace and peace. Maybe you should slap a neighbor and say grace on the left. Slap one on the right and say peace. The Bible says the following in 2 Peter 1 verse 2. It says, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Wow. May God give you more and more grace and peace. Who can do with some more grace and more peace? It says God wants to flood our lives with more grace and more peace. There's two things that you need to know that God wants to flood your life with. It is His grace and His peace. That's good news. God wants to flood your life with His grace and His peace. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 3 in the Bible it says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes to Corinthians church in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 3. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, in almost every letter in the New Testament, you will find the writer starting or ending the letter with the following. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is almost as if God wants His church to know that grace and peace we have, and we just not have it for salvation, but He wants us to know that we have received grace and peace and can have it more abundantly in our lives every day for everyday living. God wants to shout it out to you. You read the New Testament, every book that you read, they almost start with the same thing. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the books start with this. Grace, mercy and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as if God starts every letter in the New Testament wanting the church to know that grace and peace is available in abundance to us. More grace. Peter says, may the grace of God and the peace of God grow in your life more and more and more. In Romans chapter 15, 33, the Bible says, now the God of peace be with you all. Friends, you need to know something. That you serve the God of peace. God is the God of peace. Jesus is the God of peace. You serve a man of peace. God wants you to know that you serve the source of peace. God is the God of peace, and Jesus is the Son of God that brought peace to this world between God and man. There was a time where there was no peace between God and man, but God is the God of peace, and He sent the God, His Son, which is the Son of peace, which is also the God of peace, to come and provide a place of peace between man and God. You are here today, and you don't know Jesus. You are here today. He's not the Savior of your life. He's not your Lord and Savior. I want to tell you that you are already having peace with God. God's not angry with you. What Jesus did 2,000 years ago provided a place of peace for all mankind between God and man. But God says, you need to receive my grace. You need to receive what Christ did 2,000 years ago for you so that you can experience that grace and that peace. You see, family, Ephesians 2:17 says, and He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. When Jesus came, His ultimate message was to bring peace between God and man. He came to this world to provide peace between God and man. What He did on the cross 2,000 years ago was a sole work of grace. You and I were supposed to go to hell. We are supposed to die for our sins. But Jesus came in the form of a man. He died on the cross, provided a place of forgiveness. And this whole thing that He did is called grace. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to die for your sins. You can be forgiven today. Because of what Jesus did. Through what Jesus did, provided a thing which we call peace between God and man. God has forgiven every human being of their sins. They are already forgiven. But they need to access that place of grace and peace through their faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Bible says, you are saved by grace through faith. You are saved by what God did through Jesus through your faith. You want to have peace with God? You need to know that God has peace with you, but only if you are found in Christ. Are you with me? Jesus came and preached peace to mankind, to those who does not have peace with God yet, and to those who have already received Him as their Lord and Savior. Even today, this message is for those who do not have peace with God yet. God wants to tell you, I'm not angry with you. I made peace with you 2,000 years ago on the cross. But I expect you now to receive that grace, that thing that I did for you through faith. And when you step into touching this grace, then you are my peace is going to come upon your life, and you will experience that I have peace with you. Are you with me? And God is even today preaching to people in this message that do not have peace with Him, but for those many that have peace with Him. God will constantly preach and bring peace to us. You see, family, it's through grace and peace that God wants to bless His people. He even showed that in the Old Testament. When you study the book of Numbers, you find in Numbers chapter 6, 22, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Wow. In the Old Testament, the people of God, they actually lived around the tabernacle. When you study the tabernacle, you find on all four sides of the tabernacle, the people of Israel camped. The tabernacle was the center. That's why God has to be the center of your life. But this blessing, which God spoke over the people, only came once a year. Aaron, the high priest, will go into the holies of holies. He will do all the sacrifices. He will get forgiveness for the people. And then he will step out of the tabernacle's door. He will get out of the tent's door at the gate, and he will stand in front of the gate behind him, tabernacle. But then all the people of God will not be around the tabernacle. They will all be in line in front of the tabernacle. And at a particular time, Aaron will stand, come forth. He will spread out his hands like this. The sun will come from the back, and it will throw a shadow of a cross upon the people, and he will then speak this message over them. This, the Lord shall bless the children of Israel. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you, so the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And ever since, family, you need to know that God wants to bring blessing to His people. Yet for some reason, I myself have found that a small amount of God's people live in this kind of blessing. Since I got born again, I found a very small amount of church folk, Jesus people, live in this kind of blessing. I have found in the church that grace and peace are two things most Christians live in the least. Most of God's people have a very limited understanding of God's grace and God's peace towards them. That's just my observation. In the short period that I got saved and born again and been in the church, I found that grace and peace is the areas where most Christians don't live in. It is also the two areas where most of God's people are very limited in their understanding when it comes to grace and peace. People speak grace all over, but they don't really have an understanding of God's grace. Then people are not living in peace. They get scared about anything and everything. Their lives are ruled by fear. That's not blessing. That's not the type of blessing that God wants us to live in. God wants His people to be marked and their lives characterized by grace and peace. God wants people to look at your life and they should see grace and peace. Like you have two arms, not just one. Grace and peace. Not just grace, but grace and peace. Your life should be marked and characterized by grace and peace. And Peter said, may God give you more grace and peace multiplied to you. So it's not that God doesn't want to multiply or flood your life with more grace and peace. He says it's there. It's there. I want you to access it. But I have found so many of God's people don't access it. They don't live in this kind of blessing. Now, I want to share with you the same scripture in the Amplified Bible. It says here, 2 Peter 1:2, may grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agonizing passions and moral conflicts, be multiplied to you. Whoa. Hold on. It's not just grace and peace. What is grace and what is peace? He says here, let it be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, you need to know that God wants His favor to be multiplied to your life. He wants His favor. His grace is His unmerited favor to be multiplied to your life. God's grace is God's favor in your life, in every area in your life. Unmerited favor in your marriage, unmerited favor in your job, unmerited favor in your business, unmerited favor in your studies, unmerited favor in your ministry, unmerited favor in relationships. God wants His favor to abound in your life. So what is favor? The best description I could find for the word favor is the following. Excessive kindness. Oh, come on. When God says, let my grace, my unmerited favor, abound or multiply to your life, He's actually saying to you, let my excessive kindness be multiplied into your life. It also means unfair partiality or unfair one-sidedness. One-sidedness. You're wrong, but God says you ain't. Have you ever had a friend playing football? And they are always offside, but the ref constantly on their side. No matter what they do, they tackle, they are offside. The ref never blow the whistle or penalize them. Have you ever played a game like that? That's unfair one-sidedness. In it? He says, let the unfair one-sidedness of God be multiplied to your life. Well, I don't know what you came for to church today, but if that doesn't make you excited, I don't know what will. He's unfair one-sidedness. Woo! Preferential treatment. God says, let my favor, my preferential treatment be multiplied more and more into your life. Wow. May God's excessive kindness be multiplied to you. May His unfair one-sidedness be multiplied to you. May His preferential treatment be multiplied to you. What is His unfair kindness? I said it in the earlier service. You're flying a long-distance flight. You don't have enough money even to buy a good economy ticket. So you buy a ticket that you where you need to, you don't fly straight over the ocean. You need to do connections because it's the cheapest. So you want to go to Australia, but you first fly to America, then back to Dubai, and then to because it's the cheapest. Are you with me? But God's unfair kindness is the following. Exceedingly kindness is when you buy that ticket, you get at the airport, and as you get at the airport, they say to you, good news, sir, we've bumped you up to business class all the way. Wow. That's exceedingly kindness. He says that that type of lifestyle be abound to you, multiply to you more and more. Well, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a great deal to me. That's God's favor. That's God's grace. He also says, may God's peace be multiplied to you. So what is his peace? The Amplified Bible gives it. Put it up for us, please. It says, his perfect well-being. His perfect well-being. Let his perfect well-being be multiplied into your life. Let his total necessary of good be multiplied to your life. Let his total spiritual prosperity be multiplied to your life. Man, I think this sounds like absolutely a great deal to me. The peace, all spiritual, totality of his spiritual prosperity be multiplied to you. Let his freedom from fears be multiplied to you. Let his freedom from agonizing passions. Agonizing passion. What is an agonizing passion? It's like a thorn in the flesh passion. You were liking the bottle before you came to Jesus because it gave you confidence. That's why you drink. Most people drink because they don't have a personality. They get a personality after they drink. So after you get Jesus, Jesus really gives you a personality. And then, but the agonizing passion is every time you walk past the corner shop, something shout, you need a beer. And it's as if that stuff is just drawing, that passion is just drawing you. Are you with me? Now, God says, let my peace be multiplied into your life. Because it will deliver you from that and give you freedom from agonizing passions. That sounds a great deal to me. He says here, and his freedom from moral conflicts. Drinking a beer is not a moral conflict. Having sex outside of marriage is a moral conflict. There's nothing wrong having a glass of wine. It's a big problem having let wine have you. Let us not get religious. Amen? So a moral conflict is when you are in church but you still sleep around. You are in church and you still flirt with girls. You are in church and that's moral against the moral standard of God in heaven. You do dodgy business deals. Amen? He says, let the peace of God be multiplied to you that will give you freedom from these moral conflicts. Wow, I'm going to say it again. It sounds like an amazing deal to me. Don't you think so? But why are so few of God's people really living in this? Or they are not experiencing this kind of blessing in their lives? Just think about your own life. Do you constantly live in that exceedingly kindness? Who can do with more favor when it comes to long distance flying? Who can do with one side, unfair one-sidedness? You know, you messed up at work, you lost a few £1,000, but they promote you. Excuse me, am I talking to the right crowd here? You are absolutely at fault, you should have been fired, but they promote you. It's as if the referee is just saying, not his fault. Who can do with that? All of us can do with that. If I ask who of us are living constantly in that, not all of us will say that. But why are so few of God's people living in this or experiencing this in their daily lives? I want you to tell your neighbor you need two things. Then tell another neighbor you need two things. Friends, you need two things in your life to release the two things, grace and peace, abundantly into your life. It's not that God doesn't want it. It's not that God hasn't made it available to you. He says to you, there's an unlimited flow of grace and peace to you. I want you to have it more and more every day, abundantly multiplied into your life. But God wants us to know that we need two things. Because what Peter said to us over here, explain it so beautifully. Look at what he's saying. He say, may all the above be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God. How are you going to obtain God's favor and God's peace multiplied into your life? He said, by the full, correct, and precise knowledge of God. That's why you and I need to grow in who God is. We shouldn't know God from a sermon that somebody else preached. We should have a personal knowledge of who God is. We should have a precise and full and correct knowledge of who God is. He says, let it be multiplied. You have to know that he could have said, let it be multiplied in the knowledge of Jesus Christ to you. He didn't. Every time where they speak about grace and peace, they say, let the grace of peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be upon you. Amen. So there's one thing you need. You need the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of who God is to make that grace and that peace available to you. So many of us, we don't even know who God is. We come to church, we are in church, but we don't know who He is. We don't have the full knowledge of who God is. We don't have the precise knowledge of who God is. We go upon that guy's sermon and this guy's TV program and that guy, but we don't have that personal relationship with the Father. Then he says the second thing is you need to have the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of who Jesus is. Not just who Jesus is, but who the Father and who Jesus is. Because there's a God of the Old Testament and there's a God of the New Testament. And if you only have a picture of the God of the New Testament, you're going to be lopsided in everything that you do. Because the God of the Old Testament never changed, but the picture of the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament is two different pictures. So if you're just hanging on New Testament stuff without forgetting that you need the knowledge of the God of the Old Testament, you're going to have a problem. And a lot of people try to explain grace and peace to people without understanding that most people, if we want to have it abundantly more poured out into our lives, we need to have a full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of who God and Jesus is. It's almost as God is saying, here is grace and peace. I want to flood your life with grace and peace. But you need to pull the plug. It's available. It's like grace and peace is available for every person that do not know Jesus. God has peace with you. But if you don't have Jesus, one day you will go to hell. But God says, I made peace with you. I'm not angry with you. This is good news. But the only way you can receive that grace and peace is when you obtain it by faith through Jesus. Now, after you met Jesus, God is saying to you, there's a flood. There's a flood of grace and peace that I want to shower your life with, but you need to unplug it so that it can flow through the personal, correct, precise, and full knowledge of the Father and the Son. When you grow in your knowledge of the Father and the Son, of the God the Father and God the Son, then grace and peace gets multiplied more and more into your life. Are you still with me? Grace and peace gets multiplied towards our lives when we have the full, the personal, the precise, and the correct knowledge of God the Father and God the Son. Grace is what God has given to us through Jesus. Peace is what God has left us with when we accept that grace. Stay with me. Grace is what the God the Father has given us. Stay with me. Through His Son Jesus. Going to the cross, saving yourself, living under the law, getting forgiveness for your sins, it was impossible. No man can do that. The Bible says the penalty of sin is eternal death. So God the Father provided his son as a sacrifice, and what Jesus did over here, we call grace. Now this position of grace is right standing with God. It is available for every human being. And God is saying here, I provided this through my son Jesus. Now, peace is what the son left you when you received that grace. Peace is what the son gives you when you receive that grace. When you know that you're a sinner, you see what Christ did for you, you embrace that by faith, you receive it. Now you are in this position of grace. God then bestows peace upon you. He says, now my peace will rest upon you. Now you will know that your life is right with me. Now you will know that I am cool with you and you are cool with me. Are you with me? Jesus said in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. He didn't say grace I leave with you. Grace is what the Father gave. Peace is what the Son left. He says, peace I leave with you. Stay with me. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Friends, one of the key things Satan used to destabilize man is fear. The biggest fear I had before I met Jesus was the fear of going to hell. You can sit here today and you can reason hell away, but when you go to bed, you know and I know that deep inside that mind of yours, you wonder and you know that there's a God and you know that you are not right with Him. The Bible says God has designed us to know that there's a God. And the biggest fear we have is to die one day without having a relationship with God, being right with Him so we can go to heaven. Now, when you receive Jesus, He removes that fear. He brings you His peace so that you know that you are right with Him and He's right with you and we are cool. Are you with me? And God wants every man and every woman to have that kind of peace. And Jesus says, this kind of peace I leave for you. Not the peace of the world, that one day you have peace with God and another day you don't have peace with God. One day you want to serve Jesus, the next day you don't want to serve Jesus. One day you're excited about God, next day you're angry about everybody. And then one day Pastor Tom was the best thing after sliced bread, then 4 days later you don't want to come to church because... You see, family, God's peace in your life is a powerful and binding force. God's peace in your life is a powerful and binding force. Stay with me. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Wow. The peace of God, when you receive it, keeps you together. The word anxious there in the Greek means a dividing, a separation between heart and mind, making us schizophrenic followers. One day you love God, the next day you're in the world. One day you pray, I love Jesus, and the next day you're ashamed about Jesus. One day your heart says to you, listen, go to the house of God, you need to change your life. Then your mind says to you, no, you know, it's not going to work. God doesn't care about you. Then your heart tells you, stop these things, sort out your life. Then your mind tells you, it's not going to help, not going to make it. Then the doctor tells you, you're going to die. Your heart tells you, you ain't going to die. Stand in faith, speak the word. Your mind wants to die with. Making us schizophrenic. And God's peace is the power force that keeps us together. God keeps you together by His peace. It guards your heart and your mind so that there can't be division. You see, Satan works with division. The moment he can divide a person, he will start to destroy a person. The moment he can divide a home cell, he will start to destroy that. The moment he wants to divide, can divide a church, he will destroy a church. So the key thing of the peace of God, why God left it to you, is to keep you together, to keep you sane. It will guard your heart and your mind. Even today, I want to explain to you the peace of God. The Bible says here, it surpasses all understanding. Amen. I can try my best, but I won't even give you a glimpse of the power factor that the peace of God has upon your life. When God's peace come upon your life, you will less believe that you are not right with God and more believe that you are right with God. Are you with me? So you need to understand that God's peace is a powerful and binding force. God's peace binds our hearts and minds together through Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." So friends, the moment confusion comes into your life, God is not the orchestrator of that. You are excited about church, CLC, blah, 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 blah. And then you start to become confused. Is this now the right church for me? God now real? What's happening? Satan is in your life. He's orchestrating confusion. And the Bible says God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So what will God do? God will tell you, come back to the house of God. God will tell you, sort out your attitude. God will say, forgive the person. God will say, no, don't do that. Come, make peace with the pastor. Make peace with the leader. God wants you to know that He's the God of peace, not the God of confusion. And wherever Satan roams, confusion follows. Ephesians chapter 4, 3 in the Amplified Bible says, Be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. God instructs the church to be eager and ready to work to oneness, to keep the unity of the binding power we find in the Spirit. The Spirit of Christ carries the peace of God. When you touch the Spirit of Christ, God's peace comes upon your life. When it comes upon your life, it does not just bind you together and keep you together. It binds us together and keep us together. And God says we should be eager and ready and strive earnestly to guard and keep this oneness we have in the Spirit. That's why Satan wants to create confusion, get people to be out of peace. The moment that you feel out of peace with something, you need to know it ain't God. You have somewhere, somehow left the door for Satan to come in. The only way you can get out of that is to come to the house of God. Come to the Word of God. Look and study the Word. Find peace through the Word. Are you with me? Friends, God's peace is a binding force. It binds us together in unity. In Isaiah chapter 57, it says here in verse 19. Do I still have time with you? Is this helping somebody? Now look at the power of peace over here. It says, peace, peace to him who is far off, both Jew and Gentile. God prophesies this in the Old Testament. He says there's going to come a time of peace and peace with those who are mine and those who are not mine. That's why I can comfortably say to you today that God has made peace between you and him. Have you made peace between you and God? Because he has made a place available where you can receive that peace and that grace, and it's through faith. Now listen to what he's saying. And to him who is near, says the Lord, I create the fruits of his lips. Or the fruit of his lips. Woo! The peace of God is vital for you to create the life you want. Mm-hmm. God promised that he creates the fruit of your lips. You keep on being negative. You keep on speaking negativity. You keep on speaking that it's impossible. What's going to happen? God creates what you speak. If you save or unsave, God creates what you speak. He creates what you speak. You speak death, he creates it. You say it's impossible, it's going to be impossible. You say that you're ugly, well, you're going to be ugly. You might not now be ugly, but when you're 50, you look like a prune. Why? Because since you were 20, you spoke ugly, ugly, I'm ugly, I'm ugly. Why don't you start speaking, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful. By the time you get to 50, you might be the most beautiful girl in the whole city. I don't know. Because God says he creates what you speak, the fruits of your lips. So you are angry towards God? Stop being angry towards God. You create your world. You. The Bible says it's by life and death is in the power of the tongue. You blame the pastor. You blame the church. You blame everybody else except you. He says here, and I will heal him. Wow. Make his lips blossom anew with speech in thankful praise. When you go back to Ephesians, you find that he says, in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Make your request and thanksgiving. You see, the place where God retrain your mouth anew is in the place of praise. But none of you put importance to praise. Many of you come in late. You came in after the praise songs because you became connoisseurs of the Spirit of God and of the Word of God. But you can be a connoisseur of the Word of God and still have a pathetic life. Because you keep on speaking negative. You keep on speaking death. You keep on speaking it's impossible. And God says, I will heal you. The way God heals you is in the place of thankfulness and praise. That's why we start church services with praise. Because God, through the Spirit, is reprogramming you to be thankful before you come to gate. To give him praise before you come to gate. He says, I will bring your mouth to your lips to blossom anew. That's why when you come to God, rather come in thanks and give him praise for your life, give him praise for what he's doing before you come to gate. Because if you don't have a mouth that is thankful and praise, you're going to have a mouth that's unthankful and complain. God says, when my peace comes, I'm going to do two things. I will keep on creating what your lips speak, but I also will help you to speak anew through praise and thankfulness. Having the peace of God is vital to create the right life. God says, peace to him who is afar off and peace to him who is near. And through God's peace with you, he creates the fruit of your lips. Doctor says you're going to die. God says no. But unless your lips say no, you're going to die. Unless you believe that God creates the fruits of my lips. There's many negative reports. It takes nothing to be negative. Nothing. You can smell negative people a mile away. Some of you don't have friends because you are a negative bomb. You are a nuclear negative bomb. Nobody wants to touch you. And you don't understand why nobody loves you, nobody comes close to you, nobody wants to visit you. Because you were a nuclear negative bomb. Nobody, they are afraid. You might just explode when you are with them. And all you do when you are with them, you moan. My life. I'm so sick and tired of that. When you have Jesus in your life, you tell me you're born again. Now you get attention for that. That's what you do. It fleets your flesh. Stop it. Reprogram. When the peace of, you don't have peace of God. You don't have the grace and understanding of the grace and the peace of God upon your life. When you have an understanding of who Jesus is and who God is, then that peace of God floods your life. When that peace of God floods your life, it will automatically teach you to watch what you say. It will automatically teach you to start being thankful. You never miss praise and worship. You always give God thanks. You always give God praise. You lift Him up for anything. And God tells His people, or all people, the following. In Jeremiah 29 verse 7, it says, "And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace." That's why you need to be in the right church. You need to be in a church where the peace of God dwells. Now let me just tell you where the peace of God dwells. It dwells in a place where people get saved. That's where the peace of God dwells. The greatest picture of the peace of God between God and man is when people give their lives to Jesus. When you are in such a church, stay there. The second thing is, when you have preachers that's challenging you to know God and Jesus, to know the full counsel of the Word of God, to grow in your knowledge of who God is in your personal capacity, correct according to the Word of God, and precise according to the Word of God, and in the full capacity of the whole Bible. When you are in such a place, that's a connoisseur for the praise of God. God dwells there. And God instructs people to find such a place in a city. And if you want to have peace, you will find your peace in such a place. You have to listen to me. That's why Satan will get you to leave churches like that, where you will go to churches where these people never get saved, and all they preach to you is how wonderful you are and how God wants to bless you. And here's 50 steps to be a better you. And they will slap on the door a church, Jesus Christ. But Satan will get you out of the place where people get saved, where the peace of God, the full counsel of God is preached. Get you out of that, put you in this place, and tell you now you have peace. You will leave such a place, such a church, because you don't have peace. He will take you to another place where people don't get saved and where the full counsel of God is not preached. And then He will tell you, and you will sit there, "I have now peace." Be careful. God says, find this place in a city and keep yourself, your peace is in such a place. The real church of Jesus, a church where people get saved, is a church where people get saved and where people serve God with all their hearts, and where the full counsel of the word is preached to them. Not just New Testament, not just Old Testament, but the full counsel of the Word of God. In Psalms 120 verse 7, it says, "I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Now, I know some of you are ready to rumble. But that's how God is. God says, "I am for peace." 2,000 years ago, I sent my son to die, to make peace between you and me. I am for peace. Then He brings you to people that preach to you how to have peace with God, how to stay in the peace of God. And He says, "But you are ready to make war." Now, I want to fight this. I don't like what this pastor is saying. I don't like what this church is expecting from me. God says, I am for peace. I want to keep you in the place of perfect peace. I want your life to be flooded with perfect peace and grace. But you will have to grow in the knowledge of who God the Father is and who God the Son is. And know that you have an enemy that wants to get you out of this place of peace, because when you leave this, he unbinds you. In Isaiah 57, verse 21, God says, there is no peace, says God, for the wicked. Friends, you need to get over your religious mindset. If your grandma died without Jesus, listen to me, of your great-grandma or her great-great-great-great-grandma died without Jesus, being born again, they ain't in heaven. It's not Tabu saying it. Jesus said, you have to be born again. Going to a church, being affiliated with a church, being born into a Christian family, that doesn't make you touching grace and the peace of God. God wants you to know grace is available and I have made peace. But if you want to have that peace, then you need to come through faith yourself, receive this, let the blood of Christ wash you, get born again, and let the peace of God comes upon you. If you die without Jesus, there is no peace without you and God. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man that brought peace between God and man, and it is the man, Jesus Christ. If you die without Jesus, being born again, if you die without being born again, forgiven of your sins, there is no peace with God between you and him. The peace that we need between God and ourselves is only found through the blood of Jesus and our faith in him. Ephesians chapter 2. I know this is uncomfortable, but somebody needs to teach you this. Ephesians chapter 2, 12 says, in those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from the citizenship among the people of Israel. And you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. What a desperate place. You lived in this world. I lived in this world for a long time without God and without hope. I went to church. Well, let me say, I went to a church, a place what they call church. But in me, I know I was hopeless. And in me, I knew that I had no relationship with God. I had no peace in me, dwelling, telling me, you're cool. You are right with God. He says here, they were living in a world without God and without the hope. But now you have been united with Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. The only way a person can be brought near to God is through the blood of Christ, through repentance. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility and that separated us. Friends, Jesus Christ himself brought God's peace to the world. He brought that peace to you and me. And the way we can obtain it is through his blood. The way we can obtain it is through faith. The Bible says we are saved by faith, by grace through faith. By grace, by what Jesus did, we are saved. But through our faith. You need to apply your faith to what Jesus did. When you touch that grace, the peace of God comes upon you, making you aware that you are right with God, yet you are in right standing with God. When you have that, God is saying, it ain't all. From here on, you need to know that I want to flood your life with more grace and more peace multiplied into your life. And he tells us how to do it. By the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and the Son. You want to live in that unlimited flow of grace and peace? You need to grow in your knowledge of who the Father is and who the Son is. Friends, living with Jesus is living in a world without God and without hope. And Jesus can and will unite you with God today if you can believe. If you can come to Him and draw near to Him, I know that that amazing peace which God bestowed upon me once a few years ago, that can come to your life. But if you live your life thinking that God is angry, that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't care about you, my friends, that's going to keep you in a place of hopelessness. I'm here to tell you today that God has made peace with you 2,000 years ago. And by that act of grace, that unmerited favor, when you pursue that with faith, you can obtain God's grace and peace. And if you're here today and you say, yes, Tabo, my life is right with God. I know that I'm born again. Jesus is my Lord. I'm in church. I want to say to you, listen, there's a huge reservoir as big as heaven, filled with grace and peace, which God wants to flood your life with. And the way you can obtain it is to go and get the knowledge of who God the Father and God the Son is. And the more you grow in that personal, full, precise, and correct knowledge, you are pulling that plug. And when you pull that plug, the flood comes. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Jesus said in the last days, or when it comes, what did I do? The sound people, look at me. Have faith, bro. Jesus said, and they will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, I have done this in your name. Lord, Lord, I have delivered people from demons in your name. And Jesus said, go away from me because I do not know you. Know you. You see, too many of us come to church and we know Jesus about through Pastor Tabo's preaching or through Tani Joyce's video or television program. But do you know the full knowledge of Christ through yourself personally? Is it precise according to the Word of God? Is it correct according to the doctrine of the apostles and the prophets? God wants us to live in grace and peace and let it abound into us. But we need to run to Him. Know Him. Know Him as God the Father and know Him as God the Son. And when we combine that knowledge, I tell you, you are on a walk in God's unmerited favor in a greater way in your life. I can't tell you. I wish I can tell you now how I'm experiencing this favor. This is not something that I'm teaching you that I read in say, Pastor Ad's book. I've seen it in his life. I've seen it in his life. I could read it from his life. His life is marked by God's grace and God's peace. I can see it. He's living in that blessing. This is not a book that I read from somebody and get a sermon. I'm starting to walk myself in that unmerited one-sidedness, that exceedingly effectiveness of God without doing much. That favor. When you don't have peace with God, your mouth is not in line with God's word. When you don't have peace with your church, your mouth is not in line. The fruits of your lips is not according to righteousness, but according to negativity. Whatever you speak, you will create. That's why even today, when you come to Christ and you speak, Lord, forgive me, God creates forgiveness in your life. That's why the Bible says you have to confess your sins. When you confess it, forgiveness comes. Learn to speak life. You're going through the valley of the shadow and death. The Bible says you will know no evil. Why? Because of the peace and the grace of God. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you love us. We give you all the glory and all the praise. May your kingdom come and your will be done. Lord, I pray for people here today. You know them by name. They don't have peace in their hearts between you and themselves. And even though today we can know that you made peace with us 2,000 years ago, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you will give them faith in their hearts to accept by grace what you did for them, so that they can come to you and their lives can be flooded with your grace and your peace. Maybe you're here today and you say, Thabo, I'm not sure if I die today that I will spend eternity in heaven. I don't have the assurance of eternal life. If it's you that I'm talking about, while all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I want to tell you, that's not the way that you should live. God wants you to know that if you come to Him, you touch His grace, you will receive His peace. Maybe you're here today and you say, I'm not sure if God loves me. Can God forgive me? I want to tell you, yes, God can. And God wants. He has already forgiven you. And the Bible says He loves you unconditionally. All you need to do is to come to Him. All you need to do is to make right with Him. The Bible says all men can be saved if they believe. While all eyes are closed and heads are bowed and you say, Thabo, that's me. I want to be included in this prayer. I want to ask you, can I please pray with you? And softly, quietly, wherever you are, if it's you, then I want you to just slip up your hand and say, Thabo, please pray with me because I want to pray with you before we go. Are you guys well? I want you to look at me. I want you to know this for the following. The reason why you are here in the front is the greatest example that Jesus lives. Jesus said, when I get lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men unto me. You know what the Bible says? No man can get you to make this decision except the Spirit of God. That means you can hear God's voice. You just heard Him speaking, telling you, come back home. It's such an honor for me to pray with you. I want you to put your hand on your heart, close your eyes, and then pray this out loud as if you are speaking to God Himself. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for today that you spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today and I ask for forgiveness. I turn my back on my past and I'm following you, Jesus. Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son, that He died for me and that He's living so that I can live in Him. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.